Chapter 21. Bermuda. The Lucid Dream was a 50-meter steel-hulled yacht with three decks and a gleaming white and blue paint job. Classic luxury materials filled the interior spaces, while modern touches gave the vessel an edgy look. A sound system that could shake up an entire harbor, and a pool that could be covered over by glass and turned into a dance floor made it a great party boat for those who were young, rich, and nocturnal. A small hangar on the upper deck held three drones that could be used for fun and entertainment, or for surveillance. Personal watercraft and a high-speed boat for towing water skiers and wakeboarders were stored in an enclosed compartment just in front of the engine room. As impressive as it was, the Lucid Dream was just one of many yachts to arrive in time for the R3 conference. There were at least 50 vessels of equal or larger size visiting the island at the same time, not to mention hundreds of smaller craft and two of the five largest yachts in the world. Tech money tended to get spent on toys, and many of the dot-com billionaires had taken turns outdoing each other on the water. In that environment, the Lucid Dream drew only passing glances, and a parking spot out in the sound a half mile from dry land. All of which suited Kurt Austin just fine. He stood at the stern of the yacht. He watched a small boat motoring toward them while enjoying the sunset, the 80-degree weather, and the soft, humid breeze. He was dressed to impress, wearing expensive slacks and an Armani jacket with the sleeves rolled to display the cuffs of his limited-edition Robert Graham shirt. Handmade Italian sunglasses covered his eyes, and his hair had been professionally dyed from its silver color to a dark blend of black and gray. Standing on the deck, Kurt looked like a movie star, which seemed logical since he was essentially playing a role. Thanks to some friends of Hiram Yeager, Numa's resident computer genius, Kurt was arriving in Bermuda billed as a reclusive venture capitalist who'd helped fund a dozen startups. The expensive wardrobe was required to look the part, and Kurt certainly wore it well. The only thing he found odd were the bespoke $1,900 high-top sneakers he'd been told he had to wear. The footwear made no sense to Kurt, but Yeager assured him that many of the VCs in the tech world chose to dress in unique and counterculture styles. Being unique was almost as important as being rich. Some wore berets or fedoras as a calling card. Others never wore anything but white t-shirts, jeans, and boat shoes. Steve Jobs had been famous for his black turtlenecks, Zuckerberg for his hoodies. The man Kurt was pretending to be had a sneaker obsession, and wearing wingtips or boots or even expensive Italian loafers would have been a sure giveaway. If nothing else, the sneakers were comfortable. Water taxi approaching, he called out to Joe. It's showtime. Joe came out onto the aft deck dressed in more traditional tech guru clothing. He had his hair slicked back, his shirt buttoned to the neck and a pocket protector firmly in place and filled with a half dozen pens. His khakis were rolled at the ankles, and he also wore sneakers, though his were a checkerboard pair of low-sided Vans. He carried two computer satchels, one for himself and one for Kurt. "So glad to have an assistant with me on this trip," Kurt said. "Don't even think I'm hauling our luggage around all weekend," Joe warned. "First rule of undercover work," Kurt said, "never break character." "I wasn't," Joe insisted. "My character doesn't do suitcases. No upper body strength." Kurt laughed. "As long as your character tips well, we should be okay." As Joe checked his cash supply, a woman with short dark hair, dazzling mahogany eyes, and Indian facial features came out onto the deck, maneuvering the compact wheelchair she was confined to with surprising ease. Priya Kashmir was one member of Hiram Yeager's team, a computer genius who'd studied at both Oxford and MIT before joining Numa. She'd been hired on to a field position when a car crash had left her paralyzed from the waist down. After healing from her injuries, she'd accepted a new position in the tech department, though she continued hoping she'd get back in the field. This was her first opportunity. She held out a pair of laminated badges with computer chips in them. "Your passes, gentlemen. As long as you have these, you won't need any additional ID. They've been coded to your profiles and embedded with your facial recognition data, all of which has been falsified to match your cover stories, of course." "The That was fast, Kurt said, taking his badge and handing the other to Joe. And I thought we'd have to pretend we lost them. Just trying to earn my keep, Priya said. Thanks for having enough faith to bring me along. I have a feeling we're going to need all the assistance you can provide, Kurt said. For now, you're in charge of the boat. No wild parties while we're gone. No promises, she said, but I'll try to keep it down. You both look great, by the way. Good luck. Thanks, Kurt said. With the water taxi finally pulling up to the stern, he took one of the computer bags, slid it onto his shoulder. He stepped onto the boat as it bumped against the yacht. Mr. Hatcher, the pilot said in a Bermudian British accent. Kurt nodded and introduced Joe. This is my assistant, Ronald Ruff. We call him Numbers. You might as well, too. Another nod. The pilot nudged the throttle, moving away from the yacht and back toward the shore. Let me welcome you both to Bermuda. I'll tell you a little about our history. To begin with, like Mr. Numbers, this island goes by other names as well. Some people call it Summer's Island. I've heard that, Kurt replied, and some call it Devil's Isle. True, the pilot said. It was the shipwrecked sailors who named it that. The island is surrounded by treacherous reefs, and those men found they could neither navigate them to get safely on shore, nor escape them once they were stranded here. But even those survivors found pleasure and happiness here. You will too. That, Kurt thought, would depend on what happened at the R3 conference.